Sunday after the Epiphany, because Lent really begins early this year, in the first week of February, as a matter of fact. It was interesting. There was a little article about researchers in Austria, and you wonder how much time people have on their hands, but they found out that if farmers petted calves, when the calves grew up, they were more friendly, they were better disposed towards humans, gained better weight, and gave more milk. Apparently, if you did that with older calves that hadn't been done with younger calves, it didn't work. So I guess you can't teach old cows new tricks. However, today's lesson, today's gospel lesson, you see, Jesus is a 12-year-old boy, and basically he is a role model for all of us, that we can thank God that he does give us his word, and it's understandable at all ages, and it's certainly easier to understand when we're little than when we're older, but God still works his Holy Spirit so that all can be brought to faith, all can share that saving word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We begin our service on today with our first hymn number 90, Come Your Hearts and Voices Raising, and we sing the first four stanzas. At the end of stanza four, we rise and continue with our liturgy, which begins on page 5 of our hymn.
Son to die for us, have mercy upon us,
Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe in his name he giveth power to become the sons of God, and promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. I also saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up. And I heard the voice of a great multitude saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God omnipotent reigns. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, O ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness.
Himself with a garland as a bride adorns
crowns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes the things sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. So far, the Old Testament lesson. The epistle lesson is written at the first in the 12th chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Romans, beginning at the first verse. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many have one body in Christ, individually members of one another. And since we have gifts that differ accordingly to the grace given us, let us each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of faith. If service, in serving. For he who teaches, in his teaching. For he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. So far, the epistle lesson. We now rise to speak with gradual, which is spoken responsibly, and at the conclusion, we sing the triple Alleluia. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Yours is the dominion, O Lord. I have found David, thy servant, and my faithfulness and my steadfast love will be with him. He will cry to me, you are my Father. I shall also make him my firstborn. My steadfast love I will keep for him forever. Alleluia. O praise the Lord, all you nations, and laud him, all you peoples. The Holy Gospel, and also the lesson upon which this morning's sermon is based, is written beginning at the 41st verse of the second chapter of St. Luke. Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware of it, but supposed him to be in the caravan, and they went a day's journey, and they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for Jesus. Then, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard Jesus were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to Jesus, Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. And Jesus said to them, Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be at my father's house? But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And Jesus went down with them and came to Nazareth. And Jesus continued in subjection to them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart. So far, the Holy Gospel. Please join me as we make confession of our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, printed at the top, page 12 of our hymnal.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven.
Please be seated. We now continue with our next hymn, hymn 133, Within the Father's House, and before the sermon we sing stanzas 1-4.
In our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, grace, mercy, and love be multiplied unto you. We hear a portion of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, which was read earlier. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So far the text. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be accepted in the sight of the Lord, our strength. You know, when I was a boy, I can remember seeing ads on the television for a certain kind of bread that was fortified with 12 essential vitamins and minerals. And because it was fortified with these vitamins and minerals, it was said to basically build strong bodies in 12 different ways. Well, the ad had a certain appeal. You know, who wouldn't want to build your body in 12 different ways just by eating some slices of bread? Those were 12 easy ways to gain strength. And my sister and I, though, you know, have to say that we looked at it with a certain amount of humor. The ads seemed to indicate that this particular brand of bread might be short in providing all of the essential vitamins and minerals a person needs. As a matter of fact, my sister and I joked we could call this rubber bread, because when you squeezed it, it would just one little piece would just squish down into a little ball of about this much when all the air was squeezed out of it. And I think its 12 essential vitamins and minerals had more to do with the chemists who were adding things to the bread than the baker who was baking the bread. As a matter of fact, the same bakery also produced such nutritional treats as Ho-Hos and Twinkies. I won't mention what the name of the bread was. But you know, we all know that basically the secret to getting all of your vitamins and minerals is eating 3 balanced meals a day. And in addition to this, the proper amount of mental and physical exercise is also needed. And these things are needed to maintain a healthy lifestyle, not just eating a bread that will produce, you know, build your body in 12 miraculous different ways. This brings me to this morning's sermon text, in which we see a 12-year-old Jesus growing in wisdom and stature. And this leads me to today's sermon theme, Jesus, our model for growing in the Lord, and I'll develop that in 3 parts. First, worship, secondly, learning, and then thirdly, growing. Luke begins by telling us that each year, Joseph and Mary and the whole family went to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, a feast which God himself had instituted so that his people would remember the great things that God had done in leading them out of the house of slavery in Egypt. It sounds as if it was both a familial journey and as well as a communal journey. That is to say, Joseph and Mary and the children and other family members, plus their neighbors and who knows how many others, all went from tiny Nazareth up to Jerusalem. Now, we know from the Old Testament that God had commanded his Old Testament people to worship three times a year at the temple in Jerusalem, which is the place where God told them he would meet them in mercy and forgive their sins. However, we also know that most people basically could only afford the time to make one journey, and that usually was on the Passover. Now, such worship, then and now, can either be a burden or a joy. Human nature being what it is, I'm sure some people thought, boy, do I have to take, you know, so many days off of work and schlep up to Jerusalem and schlep back again. You know, and as we know from Jesus' parables, some people can be pretty imaginative when it comes to making excuses and not going to worship. But the important thing to note here is that Mary and Joseph and their family and their neighbors went each and every year, and they went as a family. Now, to get from Jerusalem to from Nazareth to Jerusalem was a journey of many days, and if they were going as a group, it meant they were walking, and they probably could only go as fast as the slowest individual. It meant that all work stopped from the time they left to the time they returned. And I'm sure that in some years the weather wasn't great. Sometimes there may have been urgent chores to which they had to attend, but those just had to be put on the back burner and wait until they got back. But each and every year they went. Perhaps one of the passages from Psalm 26 echoed in their hearts and in their minds. Lord, I have loved the habitation of the house of your house and the place where your honor dwells. I'd like to think that beyond just the simple sense of duty, there was also a sense of joy in their regular worship. Today, I think we can reflect on that sense of joy and God's great love for us, a love so great that it moved him to send his one and only Son so that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have eternal life. And that kind of love from God produces love in return. And the best place that that love can be nourished and so we can grow in that love is through regular public worship when we are able. And think about it for a moment. That's how the 12-year-old Jesus grew, and that's how we grow as well. And we see Jesus growing through learning. Jesus did not only go out and worship, but he also studied God's Word. Can we really fully comprehend that he who was the Word himself, the Word became flesh, studied God's Word? But Jesus not only studied God's Word, he not only listened to the teachers of the law expound on that Word, but he also asked questions. His ears were open and his brain was working. He just didn't sit there like a sponge, but rather he heard and he asked, and that's how people learn. They not only listen, but they ask questions. Does this make sense? What exactly did you mean? Is it this or is it that? Questions, questions, questions. You know, there are some people who feel that children should only be seen and not heard. That's what I call the stuffed goose approach to learning. You know how they get a goose and they feed him so much to get pate. Well, they just stuff a little funnel down the goose's throat and just keep pushing stuff down. And I think that's how some people think children should be, put them in a classroom and you just keep putting facts and stuff in their head. Don't ask questions, don't do anything. It kind of reminds me of the Far Side cartoon where this child gets up in class and said, "Ooh, ooh, Mr. Jones, can I be excused? My head is full." But you know, there has to be a balance between learning a basic amount of knowledge and then also seeing the need for that kind of knowledge and applying that knowledge. And sometimes the application of knowledge is called wisdom. And seeing the need for knowledge and applying that knowledge is where questioning comes in. As a matter of fact, that's one of the geniuses of the Small Catechism by Martin Luther, isn't it? After each statement, whether it's from the Ten Commandments, whether it's from the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, the Sacrament, or the Office of the Keys, there is always the question, what does this mean? And we might even go further and ask, what does it mean for me? Wouldn't it be exciting to have a time machine and go back in time and kind of like Sherman and Peabody in the old Bullwinkle and show and sit in and listen to Jesus and the doctors of the law in the temple have a kind of a back and forth as they were teaching and Jesus was questioning. The reaction of all those who heard Jesus was one of amazement. And of all, Mary and Joseph were the most amazed. Literally, they were beside themselves. They were floored. In a sense, however, we can go back. We don't need a time machine, but we can go back as we read the gospel and see how during his earthly ministry, Jesus put questions to people. He told stories. He answered the questions of those who were asking and earnestly seeking him, of those who were his supporters and his disciples, of those who were strangers, and even of those who were his enemies who were trying to trick him into through trick questions. And we too can share in the amazement that God and Jesus has turned to us so that we can turn to him. That in Jesus, Jesus has turned to those who couldn't turn to him. That we can identify with those in the scripture who said, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." Jesus invites our questions. There is no area of life where he does not want to help us, to forgive us. We may have doubts. We may say, "Lord, I have my doubts. Lord, I'm hurting." And so Jesus comes to us through both word and sacrament, and he asks that we lay our questions, our doubts, and our hurts at the foot of his cross. For it is at this point where he won for us the forgiveness of sins and went on to rise from the dead to make us right with God, to show us that he is with us in life and death, in sickness and health, in youth as well as old age. Perhaps our questions may be answered now, or perhaps they will be answered on the other side of eternity. But there are no bad questions with Jesus, and with each question he would change our doubts to faith by assuring us that he is with us. And with worship and learning and questioning, we come to growing. I know, humanly speaking, the 12-year-old Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with both God and men. In response to worship and the study of God's word, Jesus kept growing in obedience, not only in regard to his heavenly Father, but also in regard to his earthly parents. He kept growing so we can keep growing. Now, Jesus' parents had worshipped along with the others, and now they were all on their way back to Nazareth. It seems to have been a large company of travelers, and apparently, according to other writings, the way a caravan was organized is that the adults would be at the front, and then the children and their minders would be at the back. And so perhaps after the first day, everyone got sorted out by family, and then Mary and Joseph realized Jesus wasn't with them. And thus the question, where was Jesus? And so they went back to Jerusalem and began to search for him. And they were worried sick. Where could he be? Where could he have gone? Could something bad have happened? I mean, bad things can happen even in first century Palestine. And then finally, after 3 days of searching, they found him in the courts of the temple, there speaking with the top Bible scholars of his day. Mary asked, "Child, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have been worried sick over you." And they were out of their minds with worry, as would most parents be. We now catch the humanity of Jesus' response. "You were looking for me?" But Jesus said that he was in his Father's house, taking care of his Heavenly Father's business. Again, we can imagine from a human standpoint what might have gone through Mary and Joseph's heads as they heard this response. But the text goes on to say, as Jesus went back to Nazareth, he was subject to them. Jesus followed the fourth commandment, honor your father and mother. He obeyed them. And he not only grew in obedience to Mary and Joseph, but also in obedience to the will of his Heavenly Father. This obedience eventually took him to the cross, for Jesus became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. He became obedient for his parents and for us, so that we wouldn't die in sin, but even in the face of death have life on account of Jesus' death and resurrection. In our lives, have we ever been like Mary and Joseph, looking for Jesus? Do we ever seek him sometimes anxiously and sometimes not? And if we are looking for him, where do we find him? We always find him in the same place where Mary and Joseph found their 12-year-old boy. Here, around his word, is the one place that we can be sure that we have found what he offers us: forgiveness, a word of reassurance, that in the midst of a world that is too often not reassuring and filled with tension and anxiety and strife, in loving kindness our God has turned to us and through his Son gives us life. Just as a balanced diet helps our bodies grow, so Jesus would invite us to hear his word. Hear the word of forgiveness. Be washed in the waters of baptism, which forgive us and give us life. Take of his true body and blood, given and shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. That's where we nourish our spiritual bodies in more than 12 different ways. Jesus would invite us to ask questions, to learn with him, and to grow with him spiritually. He does not ask that we look at him as cows look at a barn door, but rather ask questions. Bring our questions and our doubts and our anxieties, as well as our joys, to the foot of his cross, for it is there that he has given us the answers for life eternal, a life which begins now as we hear his word, and a life which continues forever. And so we grow in worship and gathering around the means of grace. We grow in learning God's word, listening and questioning and growing in understanding. We grow in being subject to his word, for he first became subject for our behalf. And it is in all of this that we can continue to grow with Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
We now continue with stanzas 5-7 of Within the Father's House. In honor of our triune God, we rise for stanza 7. Let me continue to remain standing and sing the offertory on page 12. After we sing the offertory, we sit and we shall receive the offer. Thank you.
rise for prayer.
Forgive thee but thine own, whatever the gift may be, all that we have is thine alone, the trust, O God, from thee. Amen. We bless you, O God, for the revelation of your will and wisdom in the life of your Son, Jesus Christ. By your Holy Spirit, implant in us more and more the mind of Christ. Make us glad to go into your house. Open our ears that we may gratefully hear and attend to the teaching and preaching of your word. In everything we do, Heavenly Father, enable us as young and old alike to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. Keep us from being conformed to this world, and transform us by the renewing of our minds, that we may show forth your good and perfect will in every thought, word, and action. Hear our prayer, O God, for all who are part of your family by faith in your Son. Prosper and bless our worship and our witness to Christ and his power to save. Fill us more and more with zeal for the true word of the gospel and the eager desire to bring that saving word to all people. Grant your strength and blessing to all pastors, teachers, and missionaries, that they may proclaim your word with faithfulness and diligence, and bring the light of the gospel to people of all lands and nations. In your mercy, Lord, show your strength and goodness to the sick and the afflicted, the distressed and the doubting, and those who face troubled times with problems of health, employment, loneliness, or troubled relationships. Give them grace to cast their cares upon you in the knowledge and assurance of your care for them. Help, heal, and strengthen them, and in all things enable them and all of us to rejoice in your Holy Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. To this end, we especially remember Nancy, Roy, Jean, Marlene, Don, Linda, Carla, and Kurt, Lee, Rose, our neighbor Sue, Carolyn's friend Sue, Sue Blank, Don, Richard, Ruth, James, Doug, Robert, Stephen, and those whose names are in our hearts which we lift up unto you now. Be with Pastor Eichstätt as he considers the call to Emmanuel to Gethsemane Lutheran Spokane. Give both calling congregation and Pastor Eichstätt an extra measure of your Holy Spirit, so he may see where his talents lie and they may not lose heart in them during their vacancy. We would ask that you would also be with those who are traveling the services this day, especially the Camerons who are at the memorial service for Gerald in Anchorage. Set your holy angels over them and grant them all a safe journey. We lift up all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has also taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever the one true God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.